This is Dr. Jay Corsandi, and you're listening to The Best Night Ever, the show that's dedicated to helping you get your best night's sleep. Over the last 20 years of treating patients, I've worn many hats, including dentist, engineer, psychologist, artist, corporate executive, and more. I've found that the key to success, health, and longevity lies in sleep, and that's why I created this show. I want to teach you how to make sleep your best friend. Join me on a journey to uncover cutting-edge science, life-changing tips from renowned experts, ancient and modern sleep secrets, game-changing routines, and lifestyle hacks that will educate, inspire, and ultimately help you get the best night ever. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. Now, if you're a longtime listener, then you know that I'm a huge fan of something called PEMF. In fact, this will be my fourth show on that topic. Now, if you know what PEMF is or have used one, that's awesome. And even if you don't know or that term seems foreign to you, you're going to want to listen in to this episode where I have a chat with Jeff Monroe, who is the CEO and founder of a company called Halo. Jeff is a very down-to-earth guy, and we have a great conversation about the world of health, wellness, recovery, and how technology can fit into that picture. And as you'll hear on the show, he is out to make an impact in the world, but in a thoughtful and more realistic way without over-promising and under-delivering, which is something that resonates with me. So here's a little bit more about Jeff. Now, he is a previous founder of multiple data service companies, which we'll talk about what they are, and has always been into an active lifestyle and wellness as part of his daily routines. And it's this passion for technology and health that led him to his most recent company called Halo, which is a very unique PEMF device that is taking recovery and energy to the next level. And how is this therapy so much different than what is out there? And let me tell you that I have tried just about every PEMF device on the market, and this one stands out by far. And for you to find out what that difference is, well, you're going to have to listen to the show and find out. Now, speaking of the show, here are some things that we do chat about. We're going to talk about Jeff's background and his non-traditional educational path, his previous data center companies and their ties with renewable energy countries, what led him to discover Halo, what it is and how it's a different type of PEMF therapy, how it works and the different modes or programs. Basically, there are different frequency sets that you can use for different things like energy or recovery and sleep. It's really, really cool. The technology and the R&D that went into it, if you're into audiophile type stuff and digital to analog converters, you're going to want to listen to this section. I kind of geeked out with them, but I find this fascinating, all the stuff that goes into the back end, both in the hardware and the software, and they've put a lot into this thing. We're going to talk about how to use it and the best practices. We'll talk about the validation studies and the adoption by the biohacker crowd, which you know I am a big fan of. We'll also talk about some sleep hacks, of course, because this is Best Night Ever. And we will also dip into some personal development tips that Jeff has learned along the way, and he shares them with you and me. Now, if you are interested in learning more, you can check out the website halo.com. It's spelled differently. It's H-A-E-L-O. halo.com, and you can use the code Dr. J, that's D-R-J-A-Y, and that'll get you $100 off if you are interested in picking up this device, which I highly recommend at least you check out because it is so cool and so different. And lastly, don't forget to check out my Instagram if you want to connect with me on social. It's at Sleep Biohacker, and that's where I have all the latest posts about me doing different things and trying out different technologies and gadgets and supplements and tips. Also on my website, sleepbiohacker.com, and you can reach out and I'd love to hear from you, whether it is a sleep question or if you just have some thoughts or feedback from these shows. And without further ado, let's get on to the show and I'll see you at the end. All right. We are live, folks. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here with you, Dr. J.
I want to start off a little bit about you before we get into the technology and all the different things that you're doing. And just from talking to you in the past, I've noticed that you're kind of like me as a kid. We were both kind of tinkerers. I know when I was a kid, I would take toys or a watch or stereo equipment. The first thing I would do is grab a screwdriver and open them up and see what's going on and what makes them tick. And I think you're kind of the same spirit as well. So maybe you can kind of share a little bit about kind of how you developed from childhood to kind of how that progressed to where you are now.
Sure. So yeah, we totally are similar in that regard. And I have, you know, just pictures that my mom will keep, you know, old fashioned in a shoebox, and it will show a room that is littered with, you know, toys that used to be complete toys that are now dissected. You know, I just was the same way. I would get, you know, radio, and I would look at it and I would want to see what's in there, you know, what's making the sound come out. And it was something that was just, you know, kind of, I would almost say pervasive with me, where I just always wanted to take stuff apart and figure it out. And, you know, it's funny, I haven't shared this story, gosh, for a long time, but, you know, so I got, when I was probably 12, I got into fishing, and I had a buddy of mine in the neighborhood and my best friend over that summer. And we used to love to ride our bikes everywhere. And we really got into fishing. And so there was a lake probably, yeah, I don't know, like a 30-minute bike ride away. And, you know, we built special little, you know, holders for our fishing poles and the bikes, and, you know, so that we could make it. We had a, you know, little holder for our snack bag or a little mini cooler. But what was interesting is, you know, I'd always, you know, I wanted to learn, but I would always look for somebody that I could learn from. And so there was a lure company run by a guy named Tom Mann, who was M-A-N-N. And at the time, he made the best rubber worms. And so I started to write letters to him in the old days and ask questions like, you know, can you give me advice? How am I supposed to? Because back in those days, there was no internet, right? I mean, it's, you could only learn from the person who you were close to and connected with. And so I wrote letters and asked, you know, how do you use worms? What, you know, techniques and colors and, you know, water clarity and these things. And I actually got responses. You know, I don't know whether it was actually Tom who wrote back, who knows, but I got responses back. I got little like pamphlets, bass fishing pamphlets, and just all kinds of information that just kind of helped me understand how to fish and how to use the lures. And so I think, you know, I don't, you know, probably my dad by, you know, large part, I think all of us, you know, there's training that goes on, but I think I always, you know, I love to take things apart, and I always love to talk to people and learn from people who have done stuff that would help accelerate my process.
Yeah. It's, you know, I've done a lot of personal development and, you know, Tony Robbins and things like that. And they always say, you know, find a mentor. I unfortunately didn't really reach out as much as you. I wish I would have as a child, but I kind of just went into my own head and tried to figure things out, which has its benefits, but there are some drawbacks as well too. I probably didn't learn as fast, but yeah. So let's fast forward a bit. As you've kind of were growing up and your education, did that kind of translate moving forward in terms of, you know, connecting with people? Or I know you didn't have the most traditional kind of education. You were kind of thrown into some fires of learning. So we can kind of talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's interesting. So for me, I think I did look for mentors, and I think it was kind of subconsciously early on, and then more consciously later on. And really, as I got my career started, you know, out of high school, I had the option of going to university, which, you know, most of my friends did, or, you know, a more unique route, which presented itself to me, which was going through a trade school. And so what I did is I decided to go through electrical trade school, which taught you, you know, electrical engineering, applied electrical installations, industrial installations. And then I went to night school at the same time, taking courses in, you know, management, principles of management, business law. And really, you know, through that process, you know, just became kind of a sponge and just wanted to absorb everything that I could. And even when I was doing that, I was working. So I would work during the day, you know, a full day. And I would work with, you know, as opposed to people who might be in college, you know, with their peers, I was working for people who were in their 40s or 50s or, you know, had been there and done that. Again, a lot of mentors, right? A lot of just kind of built-in mentors. So I'd work during the day, and then I would go to school from, you know, probably, I think it was 4 until 9 p.m. in the evenings. And then I would do additional night school doing, you know, other courses more in management and in, you know, something that would be, you know, something that I could apply more in a managerial task or role. So, you know, yeah, it was very unique, but it did help me discover, you know, mentors and mentors to discover me and help me along the way in my learning process.
It sounds like that recipe worked out for you, considering you've founded and started several successful companies. And I want to talk about those. It sounds like you were involved in data centers and sustainable computing. And some of this stuff is a little bit beyond what I understand. So maybe you can kind of talk a little bit about those and the connection to Iceland, which I think is fascinating as well, too. And yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So this is, I think, you know, so I've been very fortunate in my career, right? I mean, I've had really great opportunities that have presented themselves. And, you know, I guess, you know, on my part, I've been willing to try and fail sometimes and succeed sometimes, but I definitely have had great opportunities. And, you know, it's nice to have a little bit of luck along the way too. You know, one of my mentors always said, you know, it's better to be lucky than good. If you can be good and lucky, that's the best. And so, but I did get involved after my schooling was done and training. I became an estimator and a very complex systems estimator, where we would get drawing packages that would be, you know, I mean, literally, you know, multiple rolls of drawings that are 4 inches thick. And my job was to go through every single one of those drawings and identify all of the electrical components, where they are, where the main feeders would route, what size the wires would need to be, the voltage drop within all of the wires, all of the different integrated systems and security systems and all of that, and tally that up in counts that would then have labor and material units applied to it that would come up with a price. And so I started there, and, you know, I guess when I was 24, I had a senior executive at the company I was working with who took me under his wing as an assistant project manager on a job called the New National Archives, which is the United States primary archival storage facility. And within this facility, they had movable shelves. It was almost 2 million square feet of storage facility and had, you know, special lights that had to operate within a certain nanometer zone so it didn't degrade the paper of the documents and things like that. And so that was really kind of my start in complex facilities and managing. And then from there, it was a very successful project. And from there, I was very fortunate to get selected as a project manager on a data center project. And this was 1995, and it was for a company called America Online. And
I've heard of that.
Yeah, right. And the day of dial-up modem and all that good stuff. So they had a data center in Reston, Virginia, and many people may know, and most people really will know me as a veteran of the data center industry. And this was kind of, you know, my start. And, you know, Northern Virginia is probably the largest data center zone on the planet right now. And this was kind of the start of all of it. So we did open heart surgery on that data center, having to keep customers live and active while we upgraded systems, added additional power and infrastructure, and then did a hot swap. And it was again, very fortunately, a very successful project, great learning project for me. And from there, I just continued to grow in the data center industry until it catapulted me to Silicon Valley in the late 1990s, developing data centers for above net communications all over the globe, pretty much every major city around the globe. And then that led me to start up a data center company with two of my partners, with DuPont Fabris Technology. And that I moved back to Washington, D.C. We started that business up, and that became the main campus in Northern Virginia of data centers. And I, you know, developed for companies like Google and Microsoft and Facebook. And that was very successful, really good timing within the market. And then from there, I started up and developed a company in a data center in Iceland called Vern Global. And this is 100% renewable energy data center. Back in 2008, you know, I kind of had a thought and a thesis that, you know, power was going to start to become a really key element within the data center industry, and that people were going to start to really pay attention to energy sources and what different energy sources we're doing to our environment. And so that has been a very successful company. It was hard. You know, we started it up from scratch in Iceland. Nothing like this ever existed there. And it's a lot of work and a lot of heavy lifting and super rewarding, and is now a, you know, phenomenal company, super successful. And as of, you know, just last year, I handed the reins over to my CFO, who's a phenomenal person and very successful. And I now am on the board of directors. So yeah, that's kind of my, a little bit of my background and what I really have done up until Halo.
You know, I've never been to Iceland. It's been on my radar to go. And I'm kind of curious why you chose there. I know they have a different perspective on energy and resources. Is that what kind of drew you to that country? I know the whole area and that region there, they have a different approach.
They do. And I mean, well, I guess first and foremost, I love Iceland. And I mean, I think it's a place that everybody should visit at least once. And for many people who visit once, it won't be the last time you visit. It's a really magical, unique place. What was very attractive about it was, you know, it is truly 100% renewable energy and two sources primarily, although there's a third source that's being added, which is wind, but geothermal and hydroelectric. Now, the thing that's really nice about geothermal is that unlike a hydroelectric dam, which to build a hydroelectric dam, you need, I mean, it's a huge investment. You know, we're talking about, you know, 500 megawatts or, you know, a gigawatt. I mean, talking about huge, huge building blocks. But with geothermal, they're very small building blocks. So you can start a business, start a company that requires energy in a more incremental fashion. And geothermal can grow incrementally much more efficiently and effectively. So I really liked that. The other thing was, is that Iceland, they were pretty proactive in installing a new upgraded modern subsea cable system, connecting Iceland with mainland Europe, and then upgrading a secondary cable system. So it was also a moment in time where, you know, the connectivity was coming into place, and that was allowing us to, you know, essentially, Dr. J, what we're doing is we're exporting energy from Iceland to mainland Europe through bits and bytes of information over those fiber optic lines. It, essentially, that's what we're doing. And so it became, you know, those fiber optic cables were, you know, really the conduit that allowed us to serve Europe with Iceland's renewable energy.
Wow, that's fascinating. I didn't know you can transport energy through fiber optic. I thought it had to be through, like, you know, telephone poles or
but think about what's happening though. So the compute that we have in Iceland, normally that would have to be in Europe. So it would be on mainland Europe. So it might be in Germany or someplace, you know, on a coal fire power plant using that energy locally. And so by taking that computer server and putting it in Iceland and having it operate there and using the energy there, that the information that you're transmitting across those cables, that, you know, it's a different perspective. You're not actually sending the physical energy from Iceland to mainland Europe, but you are effectively shipping that energy through the information because it's a transfer. You're Yes. transferring the energy utilization from one place to another and using the information as a mechanism to send, you know, to connect that information with the source.
I got it. It'd almost be like if I was using Iceland to mine Bitcoin and use the resources to do that, but then send the information back this way. Yeah.
That's right. That's yeah. exactly right.
We may have to look into that.
Well, there's a lot of people that are doing, you know, Bitcoin mining in Iceland and really, you know, all over the world. That is a whole nother discussion, which is, you know, the extreme power utilization of Bitcoin specifically. It's pretty staggering the amount of power that mining uses.
All right. This has been great, but we got to talk about what we're here to talk about. And I want to switch gears a little bit and go into this technology that you've developed in this company and this modality. I know you mentioned in the beginning, it's, you know, it's called Halo. It almost seems like a 180 departure from what you were doing in some sense, because you were working in information and energy and data, and now you're working in the health and wellness. I guess what caused that shift to an entirely different space?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, so we all have, yeah, I think in life, we all have different passions and different interests, and then sometimes different career paths. And, you know, I think if you're young and you, you know, have a pure alignment between, you know, your passion and your career, well, you know, frankly, you're the luckiest person in the world, right? I mean, that's, you know, that is the, you know, that's what everybody strives for. You know, I think for me, while I love data centers and, you know, really, I mean, did such a deep dive on them and just found them so fascinating, I think, you know, from a real passion perspective, I think I started to really accelerate my passion in just performance and recovery, and not just, you know, wellness, but also just, you know, this notion of, you know, what is now, you know, biohacking, or, you know, trying to find ways and modalities and mechanisms of action to improve, you know, everything from, you know, maybe how, you know, how well you can perform physically or mentally, or how well you can sleep, or, you know, the whole gamut. And so I think, you know, I just really, that had always been a passion of mine and really was becoming a super strong passion of mine. And there were a couple of kind of pivotal things that happened, you know, that just drove this for me. One is, you know, back in, gosh, I guess it was 2007. I remember my wife, you know, she just, you know, we have a large family, we've got five kids, and she was, you know, just talking to me. She goes, you know, I saw this thing and I think I want to do P90X. Right. And I didn't even know what this was. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't even know what that is, but fine. So I got it for her for Christmas. And then like in January, you know, I hear her up in the gym and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's dying up there. Right. And I, you know, to be honest with you, I kind of felt guilty. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting down here, you know, sipping my coffee, eating a croissant, and she's up there like killing herself. So I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and do this with her. And, you know, that was kind of the start for me, which is, and it was the whole diet plan, the muscle confusion, body confusion. And I started to see changes and results, and it just really started to generate a lot of momentum behind this, you know, this passion that was developing. And then the second thing was, I was in Iceland with the creative director who did a lot of different CGI for movies like Two Guns and Everest. And I was sitting with him at dinner and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, you look fantastic. What are you doing? And he goes, have you heard about bulletproof coffee? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, what is that? And he's, you know, everybody knows that now. I know that, I think you put some butter in your coffee every now and again.
This is the gateway drug. Yes.
Exactly. So, you know, so I was like, okay, well, I'll try that. And lo and behold, you know, it just, you know, just released a, you know, an understanding in me of, wow, you know, you can really affect me in this way and in this radical way. And it just had amazing results. So, you know, all of this started to build on itself, where it just was reinforcing this kind of underlying passion that I knew was there. And, you know, from bulletproof coffee, I started to experiment with all kinds of different modalities. I got a, you know, infrared sauna, which I love, you know, got a, you know, red light, you know, got myself a Juve red light, which I love. And, you know, it just kind of led me through all the different ranges of modalities. And the one that, you know, that really piqued my interest more than any was pulsed electromagnetic field technology. And, you know, I think primarily because I'm always looking, number one, you know, in the data center industry, you're always, you know, it's always about sound engineering based in science, data driven, right? And as I started to do studies on, I mean, there's thousands of studies on PEMF and also in light therapy that show the amazing effectiveness of the modality and the ability to just really, you know, support the body in ways that other modalities can't. And so I really loved the fact that you could send sound as a magnetic wave through the body, and that it could flow all the way through the body, not like red light, 3 millimeters or 11 millimeters or infrared, which can go maybe 19 millimeters, but something that really could go all the way through the body. I thought that was different and unique. And the other thing that I really love about it is, you know, so there's good diet, you know, there's what you eat, there's the water that you drink, right? Super critical, right? There's the air you breathe, there's the relationships that you have, you know, all of those things are like, you know, these inputs. And the great thing about Halo and PEMF is this is a modality that helps your body use what it has. So, you know, it's not adding anything to your body. It's not a supplement. It's just something that helps your body use what it has. And I found that just super intriguing, along with the other technologies that I mentioned.
I was going to ask you about that, about why you would you picked PEMF versus, you know, developing an infrared sauna or red light panel or blue blocking glasses. But it makes sense to me. You know, I've just like you, I've had all the different supplements and I'll tried all the different things, and I'm always attracted to kind of more of the energetic side of things, you know, and you know, light waves, magnetic waves. For people listening, you know, I've tried every PEMF device out there. I've done podcasts on them. I've read books about them. Maybe you can give a little bit more background on what PEMF is or how it works, and then we can talk a little bit more about the device and the format and the different options and things you have with it.
Sure. So, I mean, there is, you know, as you said, I mean, PEMF has been around for a while, and, you know, numerous studies and numerous companies out there that use it, and it can be used for such a wide variety of applications. And, you know, the important thing is, you know, Halo, you know, we are a performance and recovery technology. So we're not a medical device. You know, we're not, you know, we don't cure or, you know, anything like that. It really is a performance and recovery device. And the way that, you know, so people might be familiar with, you know, mats that you lay on, or, you know, modalities where you can feel that magnetic wave. Right. I mean, it's like, it's,
yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, I've laid down on mats. Some of them I don't feel, some of them they're making loud popping, ticking noises. You're getting full body twitches. So there's a lot of different options out there.
There are. And so the thing that really we have developed is something that, you know, is finesse and not brute force. So some of the mats that are used, you know, that might be a 20 hertz or a 30 hertz frequency signal, and it is just brute force. It's very strong, very effective at certain things, but it's kind of got very, you know, somewhat singularity of purpose, and it's really using brute force. And the reason why, you know, I have a drive in finesse is that, you know, so we have a nervous system, and, you know, there's sympathetic and parasympathetic balance that you want to try to achieve, right? Anybody who, you know, has a wearable and tracks their HRV, you know, you want to stay within that balance range between the two. And, you know, depending upon, it doesn't matter, it could be working out, it could be stretching too aggressively, it could be a certain modality, and it will have, you know, it can trigger a sympathetic nervous system response. And so, you know, the goal is to try to send these nourishing frequencies through the body, but do it in such a way that it allows your nervous system to stay balanced, that it doesn't trigger a sympathetic reaction, which can actually blunt the effectiveness of certain frequencies. That's one. The second thing is that, you know, so we have, you know, our frequency ranges from 3 hertz to a little under 12,000 hertz. And so we deliver them in a symphonic way. You know, other devices, like you've mentioned, are single frequencies, either single frequency for the entire session or, you know, like a token ring, right? A frequency one, frequency two, frequency three. And so we have stacked our frequencies in a way that they run like a symphony. And therefore, rather than, you know, like a binary switch that your body, you know, it feels this frequency, now it's this frequency, it's accepting these frequencies in harmony in this symphonic delivery. And it keeps that nervous system balanced, and it allows, you know, something that is, you can't feel it, right? When you put the Halo on, some people who are extremely sensitive may be able to feel a little bit of that, you know, that vibration, but I don't feel it. Most people don't feel it when it's functioning, because it's very gentle and it really is just using finesse. So it's just, it's different approaches. There are people who know, you know, who use vibration plates, You know, I have a power plate, which I bought many, many years ago. I love it. If you look, you know, many people don't look at the detail of the frequencies. You'll see it's 20 hertz, 30 hertz. There's different amplitudes, you know, that you can put into the plate. So it is, you know, it's delivering frequencies to the body, but it's delivering it in a percussive manner. And the great thing about PEMF is it's just so smooth, so gentle, and the frequencies are so targeted that it is far more effective than any other modality that I've used in this space.
Yeah, that's a great point. And just to kind of go back a little bit, when you mentioned symphonic, and I think we've chatted about this before, these frequencies are simultaneously being delivered, right? It's not like one following the next changing, right? They're all happening at the same time. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. So just to expand on that. So let's say that you select recover. You know, recover is one of our, you know, our, I would say, most used, just because it's a 22-minute session and it really does, you know, it's built for the athlete or somebody who works out who really wants to optimize the efficiency of their recovery. So within that, there will be, you know, multiple blocks of frequencies, you know, and so within each block of those frequencies, there will be multiple frequencies within the block that will play. And the reason why there's individual blocks is because you want frequencies that work harmoniously together to be operating symphonically together. And so we, you know, stack those in individual blocks, and each block has multiple frequencies that work in synergy with each other.
And it makes sense, because I don't think in nature you see isolated frequencies. It's almost like pharmacology, right? They try to get the essence of a molecule or a compound, but in actuality, it's almost like a full spectrum approach versus just isolating certain, let's say, frequencies in this case. And I also want to go back on another thing that you mentioned too, is the not feeling thing here. Now, a lot of people in this biohacking and wellness space are going to be into two buckets. One are going to be the people who want this instant gratification. I got to feel something, you know, crank up the Gauss, or, you know, I need it right now. And the others are going to be the more, let's say, subtle, more connected or aware type. So for people who are looking at this device or this technology, it's obviously an investment. How do you have that conversation with people who say, well, you know, I'm spending the time and money on this, but, you know, again, it's not something I'm feeling while I'm doing it. How does that conversation go?
There's two answers to that. One is the business answer, which is the business side of it, which is, you know, a company that stands behind its product and what it can do. And you have a very strong money back guarantee. So that way, you know, you're confident in the device to be able to work the way it's designed for each individual. And that really removes the risk. That's number one. So that's the business side. But on the, you know, on the more, you know, I'd say, you know, applied side, this is where, so there's the feeling and there's the knowing, right? And they're both real things. I mean, feeling, it's a real thing. I mean, there are people who can feel things or sense things much better than others. And there are some that are much more accurate than others, but nobody is 100% accurate with feelings, right? And so I like to operate in the knowing. And I have to say that the majority of our customers are into some form of wearable, whether it's, you know, a Whoop or an Aura or a BioStrap, right? I mean, exactly. So, and this is where the knowing comes in. And I'm sure you've experienced this. I have, where sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I had a crappy sleep. And I have two biometric devices and I test them against each other. And I'm like, wait a minute, my recovery was actually really good last night. But then I notice, well, guess what? The reason why I feel this way is because I was in a deep zone of deep sleep and I popped right out of deep sleep. And I feel, you know, groggy, but I'm actually well recovered. So I think that's what we love, is we're part of the knowing, is because, you know, BioStrap Labs did an independent study with elite athletes and, you know, found, you know, the data proved out that whether it was deep sleep, you know, that there were material gains that were seen in athletes who used the Halo. And so we like to operate in the knowing. And, you know, the knowing part is honestly with almost any modality, even something that makes you feel like I might use something that makes me feel this vibration or percussive. It might be a Theragun, you know, using something percussive therapy. But for me personally, unless you are looking at your own data, you can actually fool yourself. And so that is where the knowing resides. And that's where we see the results really playing out, is where people look at their HRV and they go, oh my gosh, you know, my HRV is really responding incredibly. And HRV is not something that all of us can feel.
Yeah, that's a good point. And people reach out to me all the time. How do I get better HRV? How do I get better deep sleep? So, and I'm always on the hunt for different ways and modalities, technologies that can help with that. And, you know, something like this, where it's not a pill that you have to take or really if a lot of exertion involved, it's literally, you know, just sitting there. And that, you know, has become part of my routine is when I'm using it, it's really a time to kind of reflect and check out a little bit too. And, you know, I'm usually right. Just sitting down. I've got a Nano V device, which is for oxidative repair. And I like to stack a couple things and I'll hang out there. So it's almost like a forced meditation in some sense as well too. It's just like, okay, I know this is my time to kind of let this thing do its thing while I just, you know, focus on being present. And that's a winning combo right there. I mean, I'll take that as a win.
Well, and I'd love to hear that. And we're, you know, one of the things that we really worked towards is, you know, number one, it's, you know, it's function over form in every regard all the time, right? Because, you know, whatever a company is developing, it has to work, right? It has to be effective. And, you know, and the form follows that function always. And so one of the things in developing the symphonic frequency sets and just looking at the time sequences and how things were matching up is, you know, we had this notion that, you know, so for people who are on any modality, but any modality that requires a lot of time, and I call a lot of time 30 minutes or longer, right? For most people, that's a lot of time, right? That's an investment, anything beyond that. And so we looked at it and we said, look, we're going to develop this. We're going to test it. We're going to see how effective it is. And can we achieve the results that we're looking for in, you know, the shortest amount of time? And so that is one of the great things that we've been able to achieve, is that the majority of the frequency sets are less than 8 minutes. We have two that are 22 minutes, again, recovery and relief. But even at 22 minutes, that is, you know, in any time in the evening when you sit down to relax, or it's before bed or even right before going to bed, it's a very easy and approachable thing to do. And you just place the coil on your body. You know, I put it on my stomach, sometimes my lower back. If I have a specific area, I'll put it on a specific area. But, you know, you open the app, you hit play, and it's done. Yeah. Right. So that was kind of a great learning that we had, and a great development exercise, and a great success, was being able to have something that's super effective, but something that is, you know, it's such a small time commitment.
Yeah. And so for people listening who are still wondering what, you know, what this looks like, there's a controller part of it, right? It's like a box, maybe the size of like a two Kleenex boxes or something like that. Then there's a thick wire and then a coil, and it's pretty heavy. It's like 5-6 pounds. I kind of like that heftiness of it. And then it's producing this magnetic field. I'm guessing it's like a toroid shape, right? Like kind of exactly. Like two mushroom clouds, I guess.
Exactly.
What's the kind of size of that field? I mean, obviously we can't see it, but if it's on my belly, is it going to my toe? And I'm 6'2". Are you getting full body coverage? Can two people lay down next to it at the same time?
So it's a great point. So, well, I'll start with the first part of that, which is kind of the form factor and what these things are. So you're right. The Halo, you know, device itself is about the size of a couple of Kleenex boxes. It is, within that is the digital to audio converter. And this is a, you know, super high-end, high fidelity, you know, apparatus, and it takes a digital input and then it converts it to an audio output, and that audio output then sends that signal as a magnetic wave through the coil. And so the coil that you're talking about is what you actually place on your body. And it is a toroidal field, right, that flows around that coil like a donut. And if you put that in the center of your body, typically the toroidal field will extend, you know, about 2 feet, 2 to 3 feet off the top of the coil and off the bottom of the coil. So if you're 6 feet in the center, you're basically getting pretty full coverage. But again, what we like to tell people is, let's say that you had a strenuous leg day or something, then, you know, you put that coil right on your legs, you know, the center line around your knees maybe, and that way you're focusing the center of that toroidal field, you know, towards your legs. The reason why the coil is heavy, and, you know, you can, there's all kinds of different methods to deliver sound. You know, all of us are very familiar with, you know, our speakers are going to a concert and you see the thing bouncing back and forth, moving the air, you know, and this is just a different way to deliver sound. But that coil, it's extremely important, not just the size, but the internals, the quality of the wiring, the number of turns, the number of windings that go around it. This is all, you know, very precise in order to have extremely high fidelity sound that comes out of this device. And I think that's, you know, that was the reason that we developed this the way that we did is, you know, we, you know, it just so happens that, you know, people, you know, use apps all the time. It's very normalized. It's very straightforward. And, you know, once you hit play on that app, the Halo starts up, it will run that frequency set, and there's no signal disruption. There's nothing coming through a different mechanism. This is going directly from that sealed Halo and that digital audio converter straight through to that coil in the highest fidelity. So you just get great purity.
So now you're talking my language, and I was tempted to almost open up the box. I wish you almost made the coil out of like a clear plastic, because I kind of want to see what's inside it. It's so cool. I've always been fascinated with audio. I've had a lot of audiophile friends and, you know, digital audio converters, and a buddy of mine has a stereo shop where he will put like a $10 record on a $250,000 system. You know, these are like $50,000 turntables and high fidelity speakers and magnets and $20,000 cables. And it just blows me away that, and I'm happy to hear that you guys have taken that kind of step to get the highest components in here to produce the highest quality signal. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And this is, and it really is something, Dr. J, that it's the same old thing, right? Sometimes you can find a great bargain, and sometimes things can surprise you, and sometimes you get what you pay for. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, high fidelity, and I'm sure, boy, with your friends and your experience here, you know, when it comes to high fidelity, you know, high fidelity comes at a certain cost. And it's because, you know, you're in the world of physics, right? It's not some programmer who's going to, you know, do some code and figure out how to make something, you know, 10 times more efficient. You're dealing with, you know, physics, and there's certain limitations of physics which require you to have, you know, componentry that is of a quality that, you know, just has to be there.
Yeah. One other thing too I wanted to just touch on before we start to wrap this up is, and I've noticed with other PEMF systems, because they're kind of single frequency, you either are dealing with some body issue, or you can then switch over to more like brainwave entrainment and dealing with head. But since this is more of that kind of symphonic realm, you can actually do kill two birds with one stone, so to speak, and have kind of that full body experience. Is that sound about right?
That's very true. But you know, we also the reason why we offer the individual frequency sets that we do.
Oh, and maybe you can touch on those sets real quick too, as well, just so people understand what are the different set.
Sure. I mean, you know, so we've got two different, you know, sets. We've got one which are really designed to activate. So things like level up or power, replenish. And these are, you know, kind of the primary means are, you know, to activate to cellular energy and, you know, nourishment. And then the other side of it, which is the purely nourished side, which is really recovery, which is recover, relief, calm. These are things that are really designed with frequency sets that really help to maximize the recovery process and help your body to, again, use everything that it has optimally for recovery. And it's interesting, Dr. J, that, you know, So we all hear this, you know, oh, well, overtraining, don't overtrain, be careful. You know, there, in many ways, there isn't really, in my mind, such a thing as overtraining. There's only under recovering. And, you know, I mean, if you think about this, why couldn't you tear muscle for 8 hours a day if during the period of time you sleep or rest, your body completely is able to recover? Now, there's limitations to all of this, right? I mean, we're still dealing in physics. It's the physical human, right? But that is kind of the thing that we operate by, which is, you know, helping, you know, it's really all about recovery. And that really is the foundation of, you know, again, a huge expertise of yours, which is sleep, which is, you know, using those things that we have to recover the best and strongest that we can.
Yeah. So this is best night ever. Let's talk a little bit about sleep hacks. I know you did some studies with my very good friends over at BioStrap Labs. Any hacks or anything that you would recommend for people who would want to consider this and adding this to their sleep routine?
Yeah. I mean, this is one where, you know, when BioStrap did the study, you know, we obviously had no visibility into it while the study's underway. And when we got the study results back, it showed, again, it was a little under a 20% increase in deep sleep for, and these are elite athletes. These are people that are already, you know, dialed in, right? And it was having these kinds of an impact. And, you know, so what we do, you know, I think you know, we've got, you know, Chelsea Gray, who plays for the WNBA for the Las Vegas Aces, who just made the USA Olympic basketball team, which is exciting. And Omar Gonzalez, who plays for Toronto, pro soccer player. Annika Schmidt, who's another pro soccer player. And I mention them because, so, you know, we don't pay, you know, our athletes, the way that we pay them is we support their performance, right? And we work with them and, you know, work to customize protocols, but also we get that feedback loop of, you know, what's working and what is optimal. And it was fun to get that and kind of compare that to the BioStrap Labs and what they're seeing. And, you know, I think, you know, in the study, the combination that was for the deep sleep that was driving a lot of effectiveness was defense and calm. And people will find that, you know, find those within our app playlist. But defense and calm was a stack that was extremely effective. But there's a whole number of different things. I know for myself, you know, I love to run recover in the evening, and I may run recover and calm. You know, like you, I have that, you know, that kind of unwind period in the evening where I may be doing different modalities. And it's just it's a straightforward and easy thing to do. And especially on days, you know, I do a lot of different kind of training. You know, I may do swimming, I may do yoga, I may run, I may do some weight or band training. And, you know, it is just, you know, I have a belief in modalities that, you know, we settle on the things that work, right? And the things that don't, they fall away. And so, you know, for me, there are things like the infrared sauna. Now that's a time commitment. You got to warm it up. You got to shower afterwards, all that stuff, but I still love it. You know, the red light, I think that's a really invaluable tool in the toolbox. I think Theragun or Hypervisor, you know, this percussive therapy is really great. And what I find is that the halo is at the center point of the foundation of the modalities that I gravitate to. And it's because it works.
Yeah. What's in the pipeline for Halo in the future? What are you guys working on developing?
Well, you know, so the great thing about frequencies and the body is that there's almost a never ending, you know, combination of different frequencies and different things that that can benefit from PEMF. So, you know, we are, you know, continually underway with development of different frequency sets that we can add to the playlist. That is, I think, the thing that really, you know, absorbs a lot of our energy right now. And the second thing is, you know, we have developed something here that is really having tremendously positive results for our customers and for our athletes and influencers. And a big part of what we do is, again, having a robust feedback loop and being able to, you know, get all of that feedback and all those learnings and be able to apply that to development of not just new frequency sets, but new frequency stacks, you know, where people can stack these frequencies in a very effective manner. And it's just, you know, everybody can figure this out over time, but it's just a way, again, it's like a mentor, right? It's just a way of maybe skipping ahead a few steps to finding a stack that works best.
Yeah. And this morning I did level up and focus before the podcast. So that worked for me. In the past, I was a little bit more kind of, I tried to be methodic with which ones I did, but now I'm a bit more intuitive. I just kind of look and say, you know, which one kind of calls out and I get those done and I get on with my day. Right. So it's been fantastic. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head as far as this technology goes. It's kind of like a Tesla where you've developed the hardware. It's there and you've made the investments on the guts, so to speak. So now it's just a matter of, you know, over the air updates or the app updates where you can then develop it out further and add more frequencies, more signals, more stacks, which is, I think that's cool. That's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving. And there's no monthly fees or anything like that. It's a one-time commitment, which is great as well.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, yeah, we're excited to be doing what we're doing in the space that we're doing it. And I think, you know, frankly, the thing that is most exciting for me is, again, to, you know, as somebody who likes to operate in the knowing is, you know, I just think the wearable tech and the ability to see, you know, modalities that move the needle and that, you know, it's such a valuable thing. You know, I'm fairly intuitive, but, you know, I'm also a little bit, you know, a little thick-headed sometimes over, you know, what is affecting me or not. And I have found myself personally that I think that wearable tech in combination with modalities like Halo or other effective modalities, it's just, you know, what a winning combination.
And that's basically the definition of biohacking right there. It's like finding something and then kind of testing it and looking for feedback, whether it is objective through wearable devices or subjective too as well, which I don't discount either at this point.
Absolutely.
All right. So for people who want to learn more about this, where could they go?
Best to just visit the website. Halo is HALO. You know, there's a lot of information there. Also a lot of links to some in-depth studies and a wealth of information. That's the easiest.
Yeah. Halo is HALO. I'll have links in the show notes as well as on my website. If they want to get more information, I think we also got a discount code. Is that right?
That is correct. We do.
Dr. J, D-R-J-A-Y is what I see on my end. So
Dr. J-A-Y, you got it.
Yeah, we'll throw that in the notes as well too. And you know, obviously if people want to learn more from me, they can reach out to me as well, or you and your representatives at your company, which have been fantastic, by the way. I've been working with a number of your support staff and oh my God, awesome people, awesome resources, and they'll help walk you through this entire experience, which for some people is a little bit necessary, but has been very helpful for me. So
awesome.
Great job there.
I loved it. You know, I love to hear that. And when great people have a great product, you know, great things happen, you know, and we really do, you know, the sun rises and sets with a customer. And, you know, that is really where all of our focus is every day. So I'm really happy that you've had that experience and I appreciate that feedback.
Yeah, I would love for other people to start getting this experience as well too. So, Jeff, congrats to you. I think you nailed it on the head on this one. And I'm excited to continue to spread the word on this. This has been a blast and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. J.
Thank you. All right, folks, you made it to the end. Thanks again for listening to another episode of The Best Night Ever. I hope you enjoyed that show and can appreciate the level of care and attention that Jeff and his team have put into his product and design, as well as his passion for the wellness space and helping people. It was a pleasure chatting with him. And if you are interested in learning more about this device, again, you can check out halo.com. It's H-A-E-L-O, which is spelled a little differently. And you can use the code Dr. J. It's D-R-J-A-Y. That'll get you $100 off discount, which is nice. And as always, don't forget to check out my Sleep Biohacker Instagram and sleepbiohacker.com website for more information about me and all of the latest updates and tips and tricks. And that's it for now, folks. Thanks again for tuning in. And I do hope you have the best night ever.
This broadcast is for informational purposes only. Statements and views expressed in this show are not medical advice. The show, including Dr. Jay Corsandi, the co-host, guest, and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of any information contained herein. Opinions of the guests are their own. We do not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests, nor do we make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. If you think you have a medical problem, please consult a licensed physician.